Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining Jewish Stories and More. Today's story is dedicated to Levi Yitzchak Ben Chaim Tzvi. Unfortunately, he passed away recently. May his soul have a wonderful elevation, and may Hashem help his family who he left behind in every way. This is a story about Shmuel Strauss. Shmuel Strauss was a banker who lived in Germany in the 1800s, late 1800s, early 1900s. And the story goes as follows. He had a business. It was actually a bank. And it was a bank which he received as a gift from his father-in-law upon his marriage. His father-in-law gave him this small bank. And he basically did business and investing and so forth. And he was doing pretty well. He was making enough money to live comfortably. He was not very wealthy, but comfortable. He loved Shabbos. He loved the mitzvahs. And he loved having guests at his home. And he had a pretty simple system for keeping track of his money until it got into the bank. And that was that he had a big coat with two pockets. On one side, he kept the money which he owed. In the other pocket, on the other side, he kept the money that was paid to him. This is how he kept track of his money during the day. And then, of course, when he came to the bank, he would, write everything down. But usually, this was his weekday coat. And his Shabbos coat was different. He had a different coat for Shabbos. However, one Friday, there was a bris. His friend's son was having a bris, newborn son. And since it was Friday, so he decided that he would wear his Shabbos clothes. And it was not long before Shabbos would be coming in. And so he put the money in the coat pocket of his Shabbos coat. He put the money on the one side for the money that he had owed and had to pay to people. And the other pocket was the money that had come in, which was for him. And unusually, he was wearing a Shabbos coat with the money in the pockets. So he went to the bris, and then later on he came home and he helped get ready for Shabbos, helped his wife set the table or cook or wash dishes, whatever he did. They were having a bunch of guests that night, which he loved to have, and the family loved to have, and things were going wonderfully. When it came time to go to shul, he was walking to shul, and he liked to take a certain route, which was quiet, and there was actually a bench that he sat down on. He was thinking over the words of Torah that he would try to share with his guests later that evening, and it was now already sunset. All of a sudden, he realized that he had a lot of money in his pockets, because when he had put on the Shabbos coat to go to the bris, and he had put the money in each of the pockets, he was not used to having money in those pockets. And therefore, when it came time for the Shabbos, he forgot to check the pockets, which actually there is a law in the Code of Jewish Law to check our pockets before Shabbos. And he apparently forgot about that. And he didn't realize that he had all this money in his pocket. So he did what a Shulchan Aruch Jew does, what a Jew does who is keeping the code of Jewish law. He immediately took off the coat and shook out the wallets. He had the wallet in the right pocket, a wallet in the left pocket. Shook them out. They fell on the ground with all the money in them. And he put on the coat and he walked away. Left them right there. It was just after sunset. There was still probably plenty of light in the sky. Anybody walking by could see them. But he said, listen, this is what a Jew does. A Jew who keeps Shabbos does not carry money in his pockets. And therefore, whatever happens, happens. I am very happy to be choosing the right thing to do what Hashem said. This was obviously a test. And Hashem tells us not to carry money. Therefore, I got rid of the money, dumped it out of the pockets, and I'm a free man. Now, he knew that this was going to be a very, very big test in
financial terms, because this was a lot of money that he had in his pocket, and how he would pay back the money that he owed, who knows? He had no idea, but he wasn't going to think about it on Shabbos, because on Shabbos, we don't think about our business. We feel as if, we act as if, kol melechtecha asuya, all of your work is done. And Shabbos is not a time to think about the bank, think about money, or anything that's connected with it. And he was actually very happy that he felt he was passing the test that Hashem gave him. He immediately had taken off the coat, and he left the money there, and he's trusting completely, whatever happens, Hashem's going to help us, and I'm doing what Hashem tells me to do. He went on to shul, and he davened there, he did the prayers for the Kabbalah Shabbos, accepting the Shabbos, and went home and had guests. He was in a great mood. He was very, very happy. Everybody could see that something was really wonderful that must have happened. And maybe it was just for some reason in a wonderful mood. And everybody had a wonderful Shabbos meal. And the Shabbos went beautifully. He didn't think about it. He didn't talk about it. Only that he was very happy because he knew that he had passed the test. And he was passing the test that Hashem gave him. He was not thinking about the money. He was not thinking about worrying of any type. He was keeping Shabbos, spending extra time learning Torah, spending time with his family, farbrenging, you know, getting together with his family, friends, guests. At the end of Shabbos, like every Shabbos, he made Havdalah, that is to say, he did the service that we do to end Shabbos with the twisted candle, with more than one wick, and the spices, which we breathe in to help replace the soul, the extra Shabbos soul that we lose when Shabbos is over. And meanwhile, the light also is used at this service because we again can now produce light. During Shabbos, we can produce lots of spiritual light, but we cannot light a match, we cannot light a candle. Whereas once the Shabbos is over, once we say Hamavdil, that we are separating, Hashem is the one who separates, and so we as human beings separate between Shabbos and the rest of the week, and a glass of wine. When it was all finished, he turned to his family and explained exactly what had happened. Why was he in such a good mood? Because he had this test, and he felt that he had succeeded in passing this test, and could be that things would be hard in the coming months or years, but that's the way it works. And he was sure that Hashem would bless them and eventually that he would recover his losses. His wife said, absolutely. We are all on board. We're going to trust Hashem. We're going to trust Hashem that when we do the right things, he will answer our prayers. And fine. Right after that, Shmuel went back to the spot where he had sat down and suddenly realized that he had money in his pocket, shaking out the wallets from his coat pockets. And he looked. And guess what? There were the wallets. He opened them up. Guess what? The money was inside. Very amazing, because this was a street that it wasn't the busiest street in town, but still, people walked by, and nobody seemed to have touched the wallets. He put them back in his pocket. He was very happy. He realized that Hashem was doing a very big favor for him and for his family. And sure enough, a couple of days later, he received a letter from a very major bank in Germany that said they had heard about his business, how he runs a very good business, and they would like to invest a lot of money with him, a very large amount of money. They feel that he's trustworthy and that he will be a good person for them to invest this money with, to buy a business or however, whatever kind of investment it was. And sure enough, it happened, and many other people heard about Shmuel Strauss and his bank, and many other people began to invest, and he became very, very, very wealthy. In 1909, if I'm not mistaken, he passed away. His children took over the business, and apparently there was a lot more success. Until 1938, they suddenly had to leave Germany because of the Nazis, made their name be erased. And they went to California. But they were able to take, seemingly, a lot of their fortune, if not all of it. And today, in Yerushalayim, there is a Torah center named for the Strauss family, and for, I believe, Shmuel Strauss, actually. A big Torah center where a lot of Torah is learned. And we see that Hashem's blessing is continuing. That is, that when we do something right, when we have a test, and we make the right decision, we do the right thing, we do what Torah tells us, even if it may be difficult, that Hashem brings tremendous blessing for us. And it's because, on a simple level, we have done what Hashem wants us to do. So, naturally, Hashem shows His love to us. And although it's not a formula that we can always depend on, some we don't understand, of course, how Hashem works and why Hashem does what He does in many cases. But generally speaking, when we follow Hashem's instructions in the Torah, we learn Torah, we do mitzvahs, and we carry out Hashem's instructions, then we bring Hashem more into our lives. So therefore, naturally, blessings follow. May it always be good for all of us, for you, for me, for our brothers and sisters in Israel. May Hashem help that immediately we should have a complete victory over our enemies, chasing them all out of our holy land. All the hostages should be returned and be healthy or become healthy. And not only that, but all those who have been injured should have a complete recovery, even miraculous recovery. And not only that, but even those who have lost their lives should be returned into Chiyas HaMesim, which we believe in 100%, that those who have passed away will again live, but the coming of the redemption through Mashiach Tzidkenu. And all of us can be effective partners in making this happen and making it happen quickly through learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, learning more Torah, doing more mitzvahs, acts of goodness and kindness, and we be successful immediately. Thank you so much for joining Jewish Stories and More.